Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Buddy Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:09 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is March 20th. We had a big news today from the Federal Reserve. So they're not raising interest rates again this year. That's basically what the market was expecting. They are going to start tapering the reduction in the size of the balance sheet from May down to about 15 billion a month. And they're going to end it entirely in September. They have also announced that they're going to start rolling over some of their expiring mortgage bonds into treasuries. That's a support for the bond market. Now, when we look at the size of the Fed's balance sheet right now, it is a hair under $4 trillion, and they're anticipating that it will level off at about $3.5 trillion. So that is also largely what the both I and the market have been expecting, if you just simply add together everything that comprises that the size of the balance sheet. There's not really much room for it to go below $3.5 trillion. However, if you look at the actual pace of the decline that's been announced in here today, it even calls into question whether they're going to get to $3.5 trillion. So that's potentially positive news on the liquidity front. When we start to look at the total quantity of money that's outstanding in the global central banks' balance sheets, well, it's now at about 19.7 trillion. It was up 84 billion in here today. Part of the reason for that is not simply because of the Federal Reserve's decision about its own balance sheet, but because of the weakness of the dollar. If the dollar goes down, it makes what's sitting on the balance sheets of other central banks worth more money. So the dollar was weak in here today. And when we look at the dollar index, that is a reasonably dynamic move. It's taken it down now to a new reaction low, if only incrementally. It's right in the region of the trend mean. Additional follow through on the downside tomorrow would break this advance. And that's something that a lot of investors have been waiting for at least the last 6 months. Everyone has been really quite bearish of the dollar, but it has been really rather resilient. The primary factor that has been supporting the dollar over the course of the last year has been the fact that the Federal Reserve was reducing the size of its balance sheet. By doing that, they were removing supply from the market. And then twinned with that, by raising interest rates, they were increasing interest rate differentials. So those were the two really hard fundamentals that were supporting the dollar, and now they're being removed. So that suggests that there is plenty of potential here for the dollar to decline. And that's been most apparent against some of the commodity-producing currencies. This is a knee-jerk reaction. The Rand, for example, today has confirmed that there is some support coming through in its progression of higher reaction lows. It's shown inversely on this chart. The Mexican peso has also broken out to a new recovery high, and it's broken its sequence of lower rally highs as well, or it's broken the dollar sequence of higher reaction lows more correctly on this particular chart. And it's the same thing for the Russian ruble, which has now been able to sustain a move stronger than the region of the trend mean for the first time since the beginning of 2018. Well, if the dollar is going to be weaker, then that is really quite positive news for the commodity complex, and most particularly gold. If emerging market currencies are doing better, and most particularly those of commodity producers, well, obviously gold is both a commodity, it's also considered a monetary metal, and therefore it should do well in the same sort of scenario. Well, it is rallying. It was up about $7 in here today. It's confirming support in the region of the trend mean. As long as it's holding that $1,270 area, then I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to higher to lateral ranging. Silver prices had come all the way. Silver prices had come all the way back down to test the $15 area, and now they're demonstrating some support around that region in here right now. But This is still a reasonably depressed level for silver, and it's a pretty similar story for platinum. Platinum was up 13 in here today. It's confirming near-term support in the region of this $800 area. It's now back above the trend mean. $800 has been an area where the metal has found support on multiple occasions over the course of the last decade, and at the price today is really just a shade of where it was back at the peak in 2008. So I think that there is plenty of scope here for a recovery in platinum prices, even with the headwind of reduced demand from diesel engines. And palladium prices have continued to push on to new high ground. It has just completed the most recent of its consolidations. This remains a steep but really quite consistent advance, and there's no real sign yet that it is over. Then copper prices have been consolidating in the region of the trend mean, and this was the outlier in here today. It wasn't up very much, but it is consolidating around the upper side of this underlying trading range, and as long as it's doing that, I think we can conclude that this is a first step above the base. Now, if we're going to see a weaker dollar, then that should generally be positive for the exporting sector in the USA. But the main Wall Street indices weren't quite able to hold on to their advance in here today. The S&P was down just marginally. I think the market was ready to take some profits, and I do anticipate that we're going to get some additional consolidation. One of the reasons that we haven't had a more aggressive move is because we've already had it. So there's a certain amount of buy the rumor, sell the news going on Wall Street at the moment. If we look at the Nasdaq, for example, it had been up for almost 10 consecutive sessions. So there is a short-term overbought condition. We are due a little consolidation in here, but by far the most important thing it has done has been to break that sequence of lower rally highs since the peak back in early October, and that's really quite positive. If we look at Amazon, which I continue to think of as a barometer for sentiment towards the stock market, then the share was up in positive territory in a pretty emphatic manner in here today, tacked on an additional $35 gain. It has now very clearly broken its sequence of lower rally highs. It has completed this range that persisted for about 10 weeks between $1,600 and $1,700. This is a clear vote of confidence that the measures taken by the Federal Reserve are going to prolong this cycle. There are two ways of looking at what the Fed has announced. The first is that there is no way that they could decide that they're not going to continue raising interest rates or reducing the size of their balance sheet if they didn't believe that the slowdown in earnings growth and in the economy over the first quarter wasn't something that they really did need to pay attention to. So that's a cautionary note for the market. But the other side of it is that they are taking action quick enough that the chances are that they're going to avoid the worst potential outcome, which would be an imminent recession. So that's the positive aspect, that they're going to prolong the provision of liquidity. And there is the potential that if the next significant move by interest rates is for a cut, and that is now what the 2-year is predicting, the 2-year yield is down to 2.4%. It was down in a rather dynamic manner in here today and is now testing those lows from all the way back in January. Well, this is quite a different scenario than what we see with stock markets. Stock markets have not returned down to test their lows. They've been rallying. So the stock market is certainly reflecting the outlook that we are at the top of the interest rate cycle, that a recession could well be avoided, and that there is potential that we could see new highs over the course of the next few months. The bond market, looking out for 2 years, is saying, well, we're late in the cycle, and that this might prolong the the party for a while longer, but that the next move is going to be downwards. So what the 2 year is saying is that by the time we get to 2021, the Federal Reserve is going to be cutting interest rates. So what they're starting to think about now is what the kind of shape the next recession is going to look like. And that is also factoring into the outlook for the 10-year yield. And that was at a new reaction low in here today. Now, when we look at this yield chart, it has been ranging mostly below 3% since 2011, and it is now back testing the 2.5% level. Now, 2.5% is a big psychological level, but the most important thing it has done has been to encounter resistance in the region of the trend mean 3 weeks ago. It's now at a new reaction low, and we're going to have to see a really rather significant move upwards in yields, at least 30 basis points, in order to break this downward bias. Well, this is starting to price in that inflation is not going to be a problem. But perhaps more accurately is that inflation is not going to be tackled aggressively by the Federal Reserve. I think that is the clear takeaway. That if we listen to what the Fed has been saying over not just today, but over the last few days, they're willing to run inflation somewhat hotter. And that is obviously one of the clearest beneficiaries likely to be asset prices. And that's also likely to be important for bonds, but the clearest, the victim of that is going to be the dollar. So, the fact that the dollar was the clearest move in here today, I think that is the very big takeaway. What it also suggests is that the turn towards emerging markets is likely to pick up pace. International investors favor when they can get both capital market and currency market appreciation from their investments. And with a weakening dollar environment, then that is going to bolster the allure of emerging markets or indeed Europe. Well, the European stock market has been rallying, but it has been tending to rally in nominal terms when the euro has been weak. If money starts flowing back into Europe, then it's going to be moving more towards the domestic plays rather than the international plays. So when, for example, we look at LVMH or L'Oréal, these are obviously the very large exporters from France. Well, LVMH, for example, was at a new high in the last week, but it's very overbought in the short term. If the euro does start to rally, well, then that is going to sap some of the interest in these big exporters. Well, there is practically no sector is more insular in Europe than the banking sector, and it got right up to test the 100 level in here over the last couple of days. And that's also coinciding now with the region of the trend mean. If the euro does start to strengthen, then that is going to bolster the size of the Fed, of the, excuse me, of the ECB's balance sheet, and it's likely to make European assets more attractive. So, despite the fact that there's probably going to have to be a shift first, though, in the way that investors are looking at Europe, because they haven't really been looking at it as a value destination. They've clearly been favoring the export sector because of the weakness of the euro. If the euro starts to strengthen, then that's going to change, and it's definitely going to start to favor more of those domestic plays. What is interesting in here today, though, is that the pound was weaker against the dollar, and that is because of continued uncertainty about Brexit. But the fact that the pound is not surging higher has been relatively a benign outcome for the UK assets. And the FTSE 250 is still trading in the region of its trend mean. I think a lot of people are going to be a lot happier about it if it can sustain a move above 20,000. Now, when we look at Australia, well, the Australian dollar was in positive territory today, not in an especially dynamic manner. It wasn't quite able to hold all of the advance. Well, the RBA is going to be cutting interest rates. So that does represent a headwind for Australia. But if the if commodities prices do start to do better, well, then that is going to be a tailwind for the Australian market. I saw an article in here today to the effect that the amount of taxes that the resources sector pay in Australia is equal to the entire education budget of the country. So the fact that the dollar could weaken and bolster commodity prices is certainly a positive for commodity producers. The ASX 300 Resources Index is so far holding this move up to new recovery highs. Now, the Chinese market in here today was not up in a dynamic manner, but it has held on to the majority of its advance. Chinese bull markets are state sponsored. There is now a state sponsorship for this because we are getting more credit availability through the banking sector. That is the lifeblood of any bull market is liquidity provision. So that's a positive factor. We've certainly had some pause in consolidation in the banking sector, but it is also very much a state-sponsored environment, and the banks are still really very close to the peaks we saw back in 2015. So this, I think, does continue to represent a bullish outcome. Well, India has been exhibiting clear relative strength, but in a softer dollar environment, then commodity prices doing better for is not particularly good news for a major commodity consumer like India. And the oil price today was in positive territory and pushing up and out of its most recent range. This has been really quite a consistent advance. It's now above the trend mean. A reaction of more than $7 would really be required to question potential that we're not going to see additional upside in here and potentially a run back up towards that $80 area. So that's a potential headwind for the Indian market, but it is probably going to be a tailwind for a lot of commodity producers. So and that's also potentially important for the USA, which is going to become energy independent within the next couple of years and a major exporter within the next 4 or 5. The S&P 500 Energies Index is now right in the region of the trend mean, and if it can sustain a move back above 500, well, it will then, I think, at least be above the trend mean and potentially running back up towards the upper side of what has been a very volatile period over the last 3 years. So when we now think about where are we in terms of this cycle, well, commodities generally do best in the latter stages of a cyclical bull market. It's exactly the time when the global economy starts to do a bit better, and there has generally not been a great deal of investment in additional new supply. So that's when prices start to move higher. Well, the continuous commodity index is back above its trend mean and bouncing from the lower side of this 3-year range. That's a reasonably positive move, particularly if we get upside follow through next week. We can generally expect that commodities should start to do well in the very latter stages of a bull market. And this turn to outperformance does suggest that there is scope here for cyclicals to start to do better again. Well, in the technology sector, the biotech sector is clearly cyclical. And that has also been able to sustain a move above the trend mean. And the semiconductors index is also highly cyclical, and it is now right in the region of its previous peak. So I think it's quite likely we're going to get some consolidation around this level, but as long as it is trading above the trend mean, we can view that as a consolidation following what has been a very impressive rebound. Then, if we think about where are we in terms of the interest rate cycle, well, it looks quite likely that we're going to get compressing yields. that there is going to be an increasing quantity of bonds are going to trade in a negative yield environment, and that has the clear potential to create bubbly characteristics. So we're at the point now where we get to the third psychological perception stage of a major bull market, that if this market breaks on the upside, then that is going to be characteristic of investors throwing caution to the wind. And I think that's a very real prospect with the outlook for the short-term yields to start to compress. Because one of the things that has been very clear over the course of the last year has been the preference by investors for very short-term debt instruments. If you're buying 3-month treasuries, you're getting 2.6%. And for a lot of people who are a little bit cautious about the stock market, then 2.6% is really attractive. So on simply a 3-month basis. Well, that, if we do start to see yields coming down again, then that is likely to compress, and it is going to start pushing people back into the stock market, and there is a lot of money on the sidelines right now. Well, that is potentially where we can get bubbly characteristics. It's when you start to get those bubbly characteristics, then that's when central banks start to tighten up again. But then, of course, it's from a much higher price level, and then you have the potential for over-tightening. I think we are. That's where we can anticipate where the trend is likely to go from here. And when we look at where we are in terms of the valuation on the market right now, well, the fact that the market has been going sideways for more than a year already, well, that has allowed PE ratios to come back down somewhat, and then there is a clear argument being made that there is some value in this market. So the fact that we've had this clear about turn and confirmation of that from the Federal Reserve today is very positive from a liquidity provision standpoint, and therefore, since this market has been a liquidity-fueled bull market, then this is likely to be a medium-term bullish phenomenon. So that does not negate the potential that we're going to get some pause and consolidation over the course of the next few weeks, not least because we have these short-term overbought conditions on markets, but we've had a sufficiently large rally above the trend mean that there is room in which to consolidate and still be above the trend mean. And that suggests that there is potential here that we're going to get a relatively steady stock market environment with clear potential for emerging markets in Europe to outperform and for commodities to do substantially better than they have been. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.